on this episode of Still Loading. So wait, it doesn't mean poop? Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. Thank you all for once again downloading and listening and supporting the show. For this week's episode, I have my good old buddy Josh back again to talk about something a little bit different. Last time you were on to cover Spider-Man for the Sega Genesis. This time we're covering Scat for the original Nintendo. So Josh, did you ever expect that you'd be playing a Scat game?
No, not in my life. But it was definitely fun.
Out of context. In any case, Scat for the NES is a shoot 'em up game developed by Natsume and was released in 1991. You wouldn't really know it by the title, but Scat is an acronym, which kind of, you know, helps it out a little bit. But like on the side of the box, it just says in big letters Scat. So you're led to believe it's something poop related.
Scat box.
but it's not. The acronym stands for Special Cybernetic Attack Team. So, as per usual, in Still Loading style, let us jump in and talk about the box art. So, Josh, what do you think of the cover art on here?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, right off the bat, it looks just like Weird Al Yankovic. He's
short
in his,
hair.
In his combat pose. Just the face he's making with the facial hair. But no, joking aside, the cover art is fantastic. It's very pretty. The colors are really crisp, and they're wearing these really cool mech suits with looks like jetpacks.
Yeah, it almost looks like proto Halo uniforms. You know, they almost look like
without helmets.
Yeah, without helmets on. I mean, they're wearing like 80s headbands and shit like that. But I would say it almost looks like it's got the green color of the Master Chief's Halo suit. And it kind of even has, like, you know, it's, like, layered in pads, kind of like Master Chief's suit would be. And they got this weird, like, laser rifle that he's clearly firing blindly over into the one side of the of the box. Like, clearly not trying. It almost looks like a misfire. But, yeah, and then you see in the background, there's another person in a suit, a woman, shooting at some alien craft or whatever. And a burning, blowing up city behind them.
It looks like it's New York City, because that's definitely the Empire State Building.
Oh my god, do you think that's supposed to be the Twin Towers in the far back, like right up around Akirish?
No, it looks like a spaceship almost.
Cause this
Something unearthly.
Because unfortunately this was made before 9/11, so they would still be there in kind of a dark, weird way. No, but in any case, the cover art's really appealing. Like, I could picture any kid in the 80s just, like, picking this up and be like, oh my god, give me this now. Lasers and shooting, and there's cities burning, and there's special cybernetic attack team. I'm so in on this.
Don't forget about the lightning.
Don't forget it. What lightning? Oh, I see. Yeah, there's lightning all in the backdrop.
No, I don't think that's the Twin Towers. I think that's the alien armada that's coming in, that's attacking New York City.
Maybe. Let's see what the back of the box says. The back of the box says, I have to get into my announcer voice. It's the year 2029, and humanity faces certain extinction. An alien force led by the Supreme Commander Vile Malmort is positioned to destroy the Earth. The President had little time to act. He assembled the greatest scientists from around the globe to stop this menace. From their laboratory came mankind's last hope, the members of SCAT. The Special Cybernetic Attack Team has one goal, the utter destruction of the alien fleet. They've sent an armada to conquer us. We've sent two warriors from SCAT. It should be a fair fight. Honestly, as a kid, that would... the fact that they're just like, can you survive? Like, most game boxes would say, can you survive? Or, you know, like, do you have what it takes? This is more just like, I don't know. I like the fact that the very last thing is like, two should be enough. That should be somewhat fair.
Yeah, let's just send out two people against an entire alien armada.
I know, right?
But one's sporting an amazing mullet, so you know he's going to take care of business.
I do like it. No, it's even crazier, though. So this plot that they like kind of relay in the back is eerily similar to Halo. The whole thing of Halo is that, you know, mankind reaches out into space, you know, they colonize a bunch of planets, they discover the Covenant by accident, after the Covenant kind of discovers them by accident, and the Covenant starts attacking them. So to combat it, because they are losing horribly to the Covenant, they create the Spartan program, which is where the Master Chief and all this other stuff comes in, you know, these elite warriors to go take out the Covenant. And that's, like, this is a much more... even more over the top than Halo already is. This is very over the top, considering they're only sending two guys versus, you know, even like one of the first main missions that you know about in the Halo series. If I don't know how much you know of the story of the Halo series, like the backstory outside of the games. Well, until they played Reach, until they made the Reach game, but you know, they only sent 9 Spartans to take out an entire fleet of Covenant. And they did. I mean, all of them died except for Master Chief. For those who have not played Halo Reach or read any of the novels, which...
it's got to be a franchise.
Dude, seriously, if you ever get a chance to read the novel The Fall of Reach, it is a really good book. It is the entire backstory of Master Chief. You find out, I think they tell you his real first name is John. I forget what his last name is, but you know it's interesting because it's the government in the Halo universe or whatever kidnaps a bunch of kids at birth that they think they have these special abilities, and they literally like pull like a Lord of the Flies type of shit on them. They throw them into like a forest and make them fight against not each other but against like an adult, and they have to. I think at the one point they actually kill somebody, and all the government's like, "Good job, you survived." It's crazy. It's a really good
one. One of us.
But no, all right. So let's keep on going. I could talk about that Halo story for a while, though. I will do an episode on Halo as well at some point. But in the manual, it says the background. In the 21st century, humanity faces its most dire threat. An alien horde led by Supreme Commander Vile Malmort has launched a full-scale invasion on the planet Earth.
Great name.
Of the planet Earth, sorry. An astrotube connects the desolate remains of New York City to the orbiting space station of the invaders. That's what that thing is. It's
the astrotube.
It's the astrotube. Okay, you learn something new all the time. Their armies sweep the skies for any sign of resistance. The last hope of mankind comes from a secret alliance made by the president. Luckily, he was informed of the coming invasion in time to act. He assembled the world's greatest scientists and gave them, you know, blah, 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 impossible task, find a solution for dilemma. We already heard all this in the back of the box, blah, blah, blah. These part human, part machine warriors are capable of wielding massive destructive force for their compact size. The members of SCAT have been designed to capture and adapt alien technology and weapons and use them against the invaders. Together, they may have the power to defend the Earth. And then it just goes into how to control the game and, you know, all the number of things. So now that we've kind of talked about the box art, we've read some of the back of it. What are your opinions of the gameplay, Josh?
I liked it. It's just like any other NES game, Nintendo Entertainment System, NES.
Yes, yes.
It's punishing. It's hard. But like you said early on, it's actually pretty fair. So what we found is when you actually beat the first level, no matter how many times you die, you'll restart at the beginning of that level. So we didn't get very far, but we found out that we kept respawning back to the beginning of the second level. But it's very punishing. There's no health kits. There's no way to replenish your health. Once you lose it, you're done. You do start out with a decent life bar. But, I mean, there's so many things flying at you, and there's so many different enemies, different lasers and whatnot. Your life bar replenishes pretty quickly. So, I really think this was meant to be played with two people.
It really was. It's a good two-player game, too.
It is. It's great. But, no, overall, I liked it. I was getting really frustrated not being able to... Considering so quickly we got to the second boss, and then I died, and then left you hanging, then you died, and then we couldn't even get back to that part. I'm sure if we cracked at it all night, we could have killed it.
Oh, yeah.
But I loved the weapons. There's so many different power-ups.
I mean, unfortunately, we have day jobs, so we can't. We can't play for too long. We have to you know, bookend it with playing and recording. But no, you're saying about the power-ups. I agree. They're awesome. I love the all the different types of shots, all the different type of weapons they have. You start out with like a standard gun, but then you get like a wide shot, a laser shot, a bomb shot. What was your favorite one?
And then you could also double up on them, it looked like.
Mm-hmm. And they become more powerful.
The wide shot, for sure. But also, you have your standard gun, which you can fire left and right. And also, there's this neat little feature. There's two orbs that... picture two orbs that are above you and below you. And then when you push a button, they'll oscillate back and forth. And then they'll shoot lasers out. And you can...
When you attack, too. So, you said, they shoot lasers out, but only when you hit the attack button. So the A button shoots your main weapon, which, whether that's the wide shot, the bomb shot, you know, whatever, it shoots your main weapon. And then, also, like you said, the two oscillating orbs, they kind of just kind of go around you, and you have to hit the B button. And the B button will either have them freeze wherever they are at in, you know, the general proximity around you, or they will, you know, rotate and oscillate around you when you hit B again. So you can either have them on constant patrol almost, or freeze at a certain position so you can pick the angle they shoot at.
Ideally, you could be shooting three lasers in front of you at the same time, or if you put them to the back of you, you could be shooting two in the back and one in the front. Vice versa, you could freeze them so you're shooting up, down, and right all at the same time, which is a technique that you used early on in like a small close quarter level. But that was a neat feature. It was cool. I mean, I've never seen that before in any other video game.
Well, what I like about it is, one, technically speaking, like literally on a technical level, I'm impressed by the game. It's got good music. Music is fine. You know, like that's, you know, tons of NES games.
I had the audio clip in the beginning. You don't really think a Nintendo original Nintendo game is going to have an audio recording in it.
There is a handful of games, like Bayou Billy has that. A lot of like Skate or Die is another NES game that has that type of weird like automated computerized voice. This one, what impressed me though, how freaking clear it was. Like you could, a lot of the old NES games when they had like that weird, horribly digitized sampled voice, it was really grainy. It would be like, double dribble, like that or something. Oh, that was really loud. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to not clip that. I'm going to try to clip that down. But it was very hard to hear what you were saying in it, or what they were saying. In this one, it was crystal clear. I mean, still grainy, but like, so not crystal clear, but it was really clear for an NES game.
Considering I didn't even think they could play audio, it was fantastic.
There's there's one of the earliest forms of voice acting in video games. There is actually in the game Double Dribble, but the arcade version of it, not the NES version. In the arcade cabinet, they actually had a version of the Star Spangled Banner, and I don't know who they got to sing it or who arranged it, but it was awful because the singer was not in the same key, or it was consistently off key for most of the song. And additionally, he was off tempo. He would hit the notes at the wrong times compared to what the background music was playing. It was awful.
That's bad.
But no, so in any case, it starts out with this cool little voice sample, you know, basically, I forget exactly what it says, but you know, you must save the Earth, and then you jump into the gameplay. And on a technical level, besides the fact that it has that cool sample in there, there is so much happening on the screen at all times. Like, the graphics are pretty appealing in general. If I had to complain about one specific thing, it would be that it's a little hard to see all the projectiles going around because there's just so much happening. Mm-hmm. And the background's a little muddy, so it's hard to really, like, they don't stand out too well against the backdrop. But they keep it as a dark backdrop, and almost all the bullets are white. So it's a very, contrasting type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to picture, but when all of it's happening at once, it's hard to tell your movements from your partner's movements, from the enemy's fire, from your fire, while everything's all moving all at the same time and shit's flying everywhere.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, if you put enough hours into it and you memorize everything, yeah, you could probably beat the game by yourself. But really, this was meant for two players. But like you said, it's great when you have two players, but then, you know, first of all, it's a simple color swap. So one player's red, one player's blue. So it's really simple to get confused of which player you are.
And, well, I mean, as long as... I mean, come on. It's just red or blue, man.
I honestly found myself switching back and forth. Well, I think, like, my anxiety was building up because, like you said, there's so many things going on. So many lasers and bombs and those mechanical monster things coming at us, which when you blow them up, they blow into a million pieces. Picture Onyx from Pokemon.
Yeah, that kinda looks one like of the that. Enemies looks
but
like
it's,
that. Yeah.
But it's coming at you like a slinky. That's a bad analogy.
No, but no, you're right. It's kind of like it's kind of like a slinky, but the one half of the slinky is completely stationary, and it's kind of wagging all over the damn place.
I guess when our characters would move over top
like
of each other,
like a flaccid penis. Sorry, I just had to go.
I guess when our characters would move, because you can move through each other. I think that's when I would get a little mixed up.
Okay,
I would find myself sometimes just looking at your character thinking, you know, I was moving mine.
So what did you think about the controls? I actually thought they were super tight. Like, they were very responsive. You mm-hmm. felt like you were in complete control of the character at all times. Like,
and
you
the
never
speed, the speed boosts were
the
nice
speed
too.
Boosts were nice. That was one of the other things you could get. You could get speed boost to help you move around more quickly and dodge shots more quickly,
which is very advantageous in this game.
Mm-hmm.
No, the controls are great, and it's a classic controller, so it's, you know, a standard D-pad and then AB. Sometimes I get a little bogged down trying to position the lasers where I wanted them. But other than that, they were absolutely top-notch.
I would say
and it controlled really well.
And I would say that's not even a shortcoming of the controls. That's a shortcoming of us as players. Because I had the same issue, too. Like, because realistically, you...
Well, it's a shortcoming of you. This is the first time I got to play it. You had the load.
I have played this before. But no, you're not wrong. I do suck. But no,
you don't. You're doing well.
No, but it was. It's a really fun game. Like, I did play this one before, but this was still on my 40 for 40 list. Like, way before. Like, I started the 40 for 40 series when I played this before. So it's not like I played this before I even started the whole series. And there obviously have been some games on this series that I have played prior to, prior to starting it. For example, like, I have played DuckTales before this series. I have played
DuckTales.
Woo! I have played Kirby's Adventure in this series. And you will see coming up, like, I guess this is kind of you shouldn't be surprised, but, you know, eventually down the road, the Super Mario Brothers games are going to be on here. Not surprisingly, not the original one. I don't have that one complete in the box, so sorry for those who were expecting that one, but there are the other ones. I do have two
and
three.
Back for that one.
I have a specific guest in mind for that already, but who says we can't have a little party?
Sad face.
Who says we can't have a little party? We could have a couple people on it. I don't need... Who needs just one? Who says I only need to have one guest, you know? I say I only... I'm just kidding.
I say get out.
No. But no. So yeah, the game was great. The controls were super tight. You felt like you were in complete control of your character the entire time. Mm-hmm. You never really... Like, what I liked about it was... One, we talked about its fairness before, where you have unlimited lives, but if you die, then you go back to the beginning of that specific level. And if you actually beat the level, then you continue on to the next one with the same health bar that you had prior. So that can kind of suck, where, like, say you beat a level and you're low health, and somehow you magically make it to the boss of the next level, and then you die. Now you're starting all the way back over, where if you would have... It's actually almost smarter to... If you're on low health and you start another level, it's almost smarter just to die there.
Just to kill yourself.
Yeah. And just start fresh, you know, just in case. But no, it's a really fair game. And what I like about the controls being so good is that it's never the game's... Like, it's... When you die, it is not because of poor design. There's a lot of video games, especially on the NES, where... You'll die because of the limitations that they provide you with the controls. Not because of the challenge of the game, but because of the limitations of the controls. A perfect example, while I love the Castlevania series, it's a classic game series. The original Castlevania and Castlevania 3, and I guess to an extent Castlevania 2, you can only, when you jump, he might as well just be a dead weight flying through the air. You have no control over him. He jumps at a specific arc, and... yeah, like, you can either control where he's moving forward or just jumping straight up. But as soon as he's in the air, he might as well just be a dead weight because you can't control him. So if you get hit midair and he falls back, you can't control where he's going to land. Unlike Mario, where, like, if you get hit, you can still kind of control where you're going to fall, which is fine, but they don't, like, it's fine if you have a character like that where when you jump, you're just a brick. You know, you can't control where you, like, whatever trajectory you jumped off for, that's, it's going to go the same distance every time. You know, Mario, you have a little bit more control over that. You can control the height by pressing A longer. You can kind of control where you're going to land as you're falling by using the D-pad. Castlevania, you can't do that, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it's bad. But when you design a game that has a lot of jumping that kind of is at a disadvantage to that, that's a big problem. There's a lot of jumps, especially in, I've seen, I mean, in Castlevania 3, especially if you watch the Angry Video Game Nerd versions of it, you can see a much better examples than I can describe, where there's just jumps that are so precise, and if you mess up, it's not like you can, you know, go, like, Mario sometimes, you know, Mario, like, you can see a jump, you're like, oh, I'm not going to make that, and, you know, kind of ward your way back to it with a little bit of skill. If you're committing to every jump in Castlevania. As soon as you jump, you better be committed to whatever is on the other side of that jump. Because if you didn't plan it out or you weren't ready for it, it's done. And that's fine, but as long as they design a game around that, there's some portions of that game which aren't 100% fair to that specific mechanic. And what I like about this game, to kind of bring it all the way back, is that there isn't a mechanic like that. It's a shoot 'em up. You are in complete control of your character. You can control those laser orbs and where they are in proximity to you, which angle they're shooting at.
Courtesy of the scat team.
Courtesy of the scat team. And that's fantastic because it makes you feel like you are in complete... It actually makes you feel a little bit more immersed in the game, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Because now you feel like you are these scat soldiers.
Soldiers of scat.
Soldiers of scat. That should be a new podcast. Soldiers of scat. I don't know.
God.
Who knows what the topics
you
on
might
that
have,
would be.
You might have a very, very interesting fan base. Fan following there.
Oh my God. That would be a... that is one interesting fetish group that would be. But in any case, not to, getting off that gross topic, literally... one of the next things I want to talk about was the graphics. We kind of hinted on them, but I loved them. What did you think?
Oh, I thought they were great. The backdrop is neat. It's a really cool city silhouette. The colors were very vibrant. They pop off the screen. It's a pretty good design art. I like the cover art on the actual cover and the manual a little better. That it was pretty, it's neat looking. Overall, I did want to add one other thing though. I wasn't a fan of the mechanic where it's a side scrolling game, but you're moving freely around and the screen is constantly moving to the left, which I don't mind those games, but sometimes there's little finicky things where, say, a stray platform in the middle of the screen gets you caught, and then boom, it's insta-kill.
Yeah, you know? That's why you have to be ready for it, though. You have to be paying attention. Yeah. I know it's fascinating, though. You're talking about how colorful it was. I was looking it up on my phone. The NES could only really display natively 25 colors.
Oh, wow.
That's it. And so I'm always impressed by that. Like, it was 12 background colors and like 13 sprite colors or something like that. And there were, you could get hacks around to get more colors, like up to 64 colors on, which is amazing. But that's still not a lot of colors. So that's why the box art is very vibrant because it's box art. Like, they can literally airbrush whatever they want onto there.
Yeah.
But with the NES, you know, you don't get as many colors. So I'm always impressed by sprite artists and like artists in general who work with the NES, because there's a big homebrew community to make, you know, continuing making NES games that are being released today.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely looked cool. It was very cool looking.
I'm just impressed by how, like you said, they were vibrant colors. Like, to me, that's impressive because, like I said, there was a lot of limitations with not just, like, obviously graphics, but color specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why, this is a little fun fact, and I've probably mentioned it before on, like, other podcasts, but, like, the reason why Mega Man is even blue is because the NES has, out of all the different colors on it, it has the most, like, you know, out of all the different colors that on it, it has more shades of blue than any other color. So, like, say there's, like, three different shades of red and three different shades of yellow, the NES would have, like, five different shades of blue. Mm-hmm. And that's not exact numbers. I'm making that up. Don't quote me on that. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it had more different, more shades of blue than other colors. So they made Mega Man blue, so that way it would be easier. They wouldn't be as limited in terms of color choices. And it stuck, because now he's called the Blue Bomber.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's a great. Those are great games, but no, the graphics super appealing. Yeah, well, and Nintendo hard is a phrase or is a saying for a reason. But no, like you said, super vibrant. I loved all the enemy designs too. Like, they were really interesting. The bosses.
And there was
were
a multitude of enemies. There was a whole bunch. It's pretty cool.
And also the bosses. I mean, we only saw two. But the bosses were really cool with what we did see. Like the
and drastically different from each other.
The first one is kind of like a wall that shoots lasers at you and has, like, turrets on the top and bottom, you know? Mm-hmm. The second one's like a snake. Like, it has, like, four different... It has, like, six or... Not four. I would say, like... I want to say, like, eight different entrances. Like, six or eight different entrances on from coming from all angles of the screen. And you have to basically dodge it as it comes in, and you have to shoot at its head. If you try to shoot at its body, it does nothing. Even better game design. Oh my god, I just thought of this now. You know all those shitty, like, Onyx enemies that we saw earlier? Mm. You could only kill them if you shot them in the head. It was literally preparing you for the boss of that level, where you could only shoot it in the head.
Oh.
Holy fuck, that's awesome. Legit, like...
I wonder if that boss, when you kill it, if it blows up, if it can still hurt you.
I think it... Okay, this is more of a recollection. When my friend did come over and we played it, I think that happened. I think we finally beat it, and then it's like... Because when you kill those, like, onyx-looking flaccid penis things I described, they explode, and they're made up of tiny little balls, and as you kill them, the balls shoot off in all different directions, and you have to dodge them or shoot them to destroy them. And if you don't, they can hurt you. So, yeah, I think that's... That was awesome. I mean, I died to that boss, but... That's really good game design.
Yeah.
Natsume, I give my hats off to you.
Foreshadowing.
Seriously. So, overall, I mean, just to wrap it all up, I can't really talk too much about the music. Do you have anything? I mean, we liked what we heard.
It was
but
good.
It was hard to hear because it's one of those games where I don't know how much you know about NES music, Josh, but the NES only had four sound channels. So you could only play four different sounds at once. And so when you had too much going on the screen, it would drop out. The sound would literally have to, like, a channel would have to drop out.
About that last time.
So that's why the music was so quiet when we're shooting, because there's so much happening, it dropped a sound channel just so that way we could... Because generally the way it would work is you would have the four different sound channels. One's for sound effects. Another one is for... like sound effects on the screen. Another one is for, you know, bass. Another one's for, like, you could only make three different tones. Essentially, you could write three different tones and that's it. So a lot of times, like, the sound effects would, I don't know how to describe it, but they didn't have a lot of capability. So I'm doing a really poor job of explaining the sound design on the NES.
Well, you explained it last time.
Did I?
Yeah.
When we recorded together?
Yeah, for the most part, like, just the limitations of it. Of why.
On the Spider-Man game, we talked about the limitations on the NES.
Yeah. Or maybe afterwards. Not on the
recording. I was going to say, I'm like, I don't remember doing that.
I know, before we started the recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, hey, if I'm wrong, then let me know in the comments. there we go. I barely remember what I recorded like 3 weeks ago. But no, music was awesome. It just, you know, it was one of those things where the limitations, it had to drop a sound channel, a music channel out to make room for all the sound happening.
And with all the firepower in that game, it's totally worth it.
Oh my god, yeah. That's pretty much... I don't have much to say about the music, except I liked what I heard, but it was hard to hear, so it didn't really stand out. Josh, final impressions?
Very punishingly hard, but with a lot of love and dedication, I think this game would be a lot of fun. Overall impression, I probably would quit within the first 20 minutes if I was playing by myself. But playing with two people, it is a lot of fun.
I agree. I definitely recommend playing this with two people. I recommend playing it in general. It's a really fun game.
It's definitely like nothing I've ever played before.
And it's cool because it, not too many people have heard about it. Like, it's a game called Scat on the NES. Like, you don't really go looking for that. Well, maybe you do, but, you know, to each their own. No judgment here. But, all right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Thank you all once again for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. And Josh, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. It's been too long.
It's been a while. Don't sue me. Stained or whatever, whoever sang that. But all right. Well, once again, thank you all for listening to this episode. I butchered that. I apologize, everyone. Thank you all again, once again, for listening to this episode of Still Loading. As usual, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Still Loading Pod. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. It helps get the word out there. And as usual, guys, please tune back in for the next episode. Thank you all again. See ya.
Bye. Thank you.